Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The Action Network Podcast, named Best Betting Podcast or Radio Show by the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, and the number one show for the invested sports fan.
Throwing end zone. Spectacular catch.
They're saying it's a catch. Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money.
All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of the Action Network NFL Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Raybon, and this is your NFL Week number 12 preview. I'm joined, as always, by my Action Network colleague and the Prime Minister of Degenerate Nation, Stucky. Happy Thanksgiving, Stucky. How's it going?
It's a wonderful time of the year, but the days leading up to it are brutal, but happy to do it in order to get this podcast out the day before the holiday for everybody.
Absolutely. Probably going to be pulling an all-nighter tonight. This is one of our, I think, our latest recording episode since, I want to say, last holiday season. I know we did one at like 3 a.m. So, yeah, man, giving the people what they want and hopefully what they need. Before we kick things off, three very quick reminders. Number one, if you plan on betting the NFL this season and haven't downloaded the free award-winning Action Network app, what are you doing? It's got betting tools, analysis from me, Stucky, the whole Action Network team, and it lets you track every bet that you make. If you want a chance at a free Vegas vacation, don't forget to enter our free custom weekly DFS contest, the Action Pods Tournament of Champions, presented by BetMGM by following the link in this episode description. And in case you didn't realize it, the holiday season is here. We're going to have snowy overs to bet on. We're going to start adding eggnog to shit for no reason. Jets players are getting a jump on clearing out their lockers. All the holiday traditions are here. And now the Action Network is offering its best price of the year on our pro subscription. So go to actionnetwork.com to become an Action Network pro subscriber for 50% off. That's just $49.99 for a full year of access to our projected NFL spreads and over-unders, powered by myself, Stucky, Sean Corner, all of the NFL experts here at Action Network. It's a great product, so if you want to get that, be sure to check it out. It's got alerts, pro system picks, so much more. And if you're already a pro subscriber, then give a subscription as a gift. Find a gambler less fortunate than yourself. Maybe someone who just keeps betting on the Eagles to cover, like me, in a losing effort. Either way, don't wait. This pricing will not last. Just go to actionnetwork.com to buy now. And speaking of now, we got three games, so let's get right into it right now. We're going to preview each of the three Thanksgiving Day games, then go into our Sunday six-pack, our favorite totals, all that good stuff. And we're going to end with a very special draft, which you guys will just have to wait and see at the end of the show. But let's talk some Thanksgiving football.
Happy Thanksgiving, gamblers. We're thankful for you.
All right, first up, we have the Houston Texans going to Detroit, who annually plays on Thanksgiving.
Detroit!
This time as a 2.5-point home dog with a total of 51 are the Detroit Lions. against these Texans. I mean, last week, shutout, 20-0 by a team starting an XFL quarterback. This just felt like rock bottom for Matt Patricia.
I mean, they have to be one of the poorest coach teams in the league, them and the Chargers for sure. There's a lot of interesting – look, a lot of the things we're going to talk about tonight on a Tuesday night, there's going to be more uncertainty than usual, so make sure that you check out a lot of our written stuff and then follow us on the app for what we bet. But we still don't know if Kenny Golladay is going to play, right? We don't know if DeAndre Swift is going to play. The Texans have a horrible run defense. They have no interior defensive linemen. Their linebackers are awful. But Adrian Peterson is awful. So if the difference between Adrian Peterson in there and DeAndre Swift and the Lions running game, because they just insist on running it no matter what, is pretty massive. And the Lions offense, the difference between their passing game with and without Golladay is also massive. I don't know if it's a little like chicken, what came first, the chicken or the egg thing here, because Stafford has struggled of late, and in the past he's struggled a little bit more when Golladay isn't in the lineup. I think this year or the last 2 years, his touchdown interception ratio is almost double when Galladay's in the lineup. But last week he only completed two passes longer than 20 yards. Is that because no Golladay, or is it because of his hand? So he has, you know, torn ligament in his throwing hand. And if you go back, he's been in the league for about 12 years. Back to 2016, he sprained his right middle finger on his throwing hand. He threw 5 picks in 19 quarters while he was wearing like a fingerless glove. They beat the Bears in the game that he was injured. Then they lost their final 4 games. And then if you go all the way back to 2011, he played through a broken right index finger. And the Lions went 1-2 in those games. And he threw 9 interceptions in 3 games. So he says he's fine. He's playing through it. But there's also the other factor here that maybe Stafford is hurt. And that's contributing to as well. If both Golladay and Swift aren't going, I can't play the Lions, because also with questions with Stafford, I don't think that he'll be able to take advantage of this Texans defense. And Deshaun Watson is just playing at an extremely high level. I have Tunsil back, his left tackle, with his left guard back this week too, after they both missed last week. They've both been excellent in pass blocking. And the Lions defense is just a mess. They don't really do anything well. Okuda's really struggling. Trufant is struggling in their man-heavy defense. So I don't see much value in this line. I was thinking about maybe teasing the Lions from +2.5 to +8.5. It fits that criteria. But I'd have to first wait to see if Golladay and Swift are in. If not, this might be a pass for me. And if you made me bet it without Golladay and Swift, I'd probably bet the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, hearing you talk about Matthew Stafford, and that's a really great point, because I was kind of thinking that myself about, is he just plain hurt? Because it's really inexplicable to get shut out by the Carolina Panthers, regardless of who's in the lineup, just by being Matthew Stafford. Like, the fact that he's Matthew Stafford is the reason the Lions should not score be stuck on 0 points for 60 minutes. So I feel like I should just fade my model, which, yeah, I have this about a pick 'em. You know, and there is, you know, a healthy Lions team, there would be some value there. But I feel like betting on the Texans, winning the bet, and just listening to the announcers talk about how tough Matthew Stafford is for 60 minutes while the Lions score like 3 points against a terrible defense. Like, I feel like I see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers have an awful defense.
I know. Like, you've been saying this for, like, weeks. Like, even when their defense was overachieving, you've been like, hey, his defense is awful. And, like, if you would have asked me any defense that was going to get a shutout, like, that's – the Carolina Panthers getting a shutout on anyone is absurd. So that – now we're on a short week. So maybe if this was a Sunday game, you know, it would be a little more favorable to the Lions. But situationally, you know, the more I kind of dig into this, I don't see it looking that great for Detroit. I mean, the one thing about the Lions is – and this – I think even Dan Quinn kind of had this working in his favor for a while. It just lasted too long. But the Falcons players, for the most part, loved Dan Quinn. Like, he was kind of a player's coach. you know, the word from a lot of the sources, you hear that the Lions players, that locker room really not sold on Matt Patricia. So just because he's fighting for his job here and it's coming off a really brutal loss doesn't mean they're going to kind of give it all they got. Now, maybe they will because it's a national TV game. Who knows? But I just see at this point more red flags, I think, for the Lions in a close, what, you know, is on the market as a close game. All right, let's go to the second game of the day, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. The Lions Texans at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Then we have Washington at Dallas at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Dallas, 3-point favorite, impressive performance last week. You were on it, Stuck, against Minnesota. Dallas kind of showed that, you know, they can still be a respectable football team. They finally kind of got enough of the guys on offense involved at the same time and were able to, you know, not just completely collapse under pressure. And, you know, I thought the offensive line did a lot better job. They moved some pieces around there. So Dallas looking a lot better than they did the last time these two teams played, and Washington just walloped them 25-3. I'm thinking we're expecting a little bit of a different outcome this time around. At the same time, I still don't know if Dallas should be favored by 3 points against anyone. What do you think?
I've been higher on Dallas than I think everybody over the last – I mean, I was on them against the Eagles. I should have covered. I was on them against the Steelers. They covered easily. And I was on them against the Vikings, and they covered easily. Now, I think the market is caught up, maybe a little overreacting now. I make this like 2.8, and I was – and I've been higher on the Cowboys than almost everybody. If you go back to that first Washington game, when I think Dallas only scored 3 points, I think they lost 25-3. One of the biggest differences now, I mean, Andy Dalton obviously got depleted and was out. It was an ugly hit. And then you had Ben DiNucci come in and it was ugly. But Dalton wasn't doing anything either. You had in that game, you had a rookie center who's now been replaced by Joe Looney. Joe Looney's not great, but he's playing a lot better than the rookie out of Wisconsin. And then you had Terrence Steele at right tackle. Per PFF, Terrence Steele is the 77th ranked offensive tackle out of 77 qualified offensive tackles. Now, who you have in there is one of the best offensive linemen in all of the NFL, in Zach Martin, who's playing really great. He played right tackle last week and was awesome. And that's huge against Washington's defensive line. And Washington's secondary is playing really well. It's really amazing. I mean, you have Fuller's playing really well, and they benefit from the pressure that Washington generates, no doubt. And Ronald Darby's playing real. All these Eagles cast-off corners, the Eagles defense stinks, and you have all these Eagles cast-off corners are, like, playing out of their minds. Who do we have? We have Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, and Ronald Darby. But so the Washington pass defense is, by a lot of metrics, top three, top five in the league, and a lot of it has to do with that defensive line. But the Cowboys' offensive line is much improved now. Everyone shit on Mike Nolan, and rightfully so, but it was a new system. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of injuries as well, but people were out of place. There was miscommunication. It just seems like – and look, they cut some guys, and I think that woke everyone up. I just think that they're now – everyone kind of knows where they're supposed to be. The Cowboys are playing much better than they were that first time that they played Washington. I think the line is a tad high. I make it 2.8. Maybe if you want to tease Washington up, I don't think that that's a terrible idea. The Washington offensive line, by the way, is playing really well. Their running game, as a result, has been pretty good. Passing game, it's basically just McLaurin. But, yeah, I think that this will be a close game. This game is going to go a long way into deciding the division. Crazy enough, the winner of this game could be, you know, in the driver's seat in first place in the division in a week or two. So maybe tease Washington here. I see a tad bit of value on the under, but nothing I love here.
Yeah, I think, you know, this could be an under game. I think I lean that way. I think the Cowboys, like, they have the edge here, but not to the point where I'd be betting on them to win it by more than a field goal, which is what you're essentially doing. But, you know, Alex Smith, he's still kind of doing what he's known to do, which is throw short of the sticks very often. He doesn't go that deeply down the football field. And Andy Dalton, you know, getting a little better protection. I think he'll take some more shots. But you look at how him and the Cowboys are matriculating the ball down the field, and it's really – okay, we're going to get CeeDee Lamb going. He's kind of a slot receiver, not going as deep as he was early in the year as far as his route tree. And then Amari Cooper is going to catch some kind of intermediate throws. And you're working in Zeke and Pollard. So I think both of these teams are going to kind of, even when they throw the ball, will not be taking a ton of shots down the field. So, yeah, I think if I had to play this game, I would go unders. The total, by the way, is 46. So, yeah, it's one of those low total games, but could certainly not see a huge scoring game out of these two teams. The 8:30 game, this is one I'm really excited to talk about. I'm actually working on a piece on the Baltimore Ravens and particularly their offense, Lamar Jackson. You know, can he regain his MVP form? What exactly is going on? You know, what has kind of changed? Certain things are obvious. The O-line has, you know, it's a shell of what it was when they were, you know, doing what they do last season. But there's a lot of different factors kind of contributing to the Ravens' funk. But at the same time, it's only been a couple games. I mean, they've lost to some really good teams. And they go to Pittsburgh now in kind of a desperation spot here against the Steelers, the total 44.5. The big news here, some COVID implications, running back J.K. Dobbins, running back Mark Ingram go on the COVID list. We are recording this Tuesday night. There's even been whispers of a possible postponement, though I don't think that will happen because this is the game on Thanksgiving. And you know, given that the Steelers are undefeated and the Ravens are kind of on the teetering on the edge here, this is a big game. So I doubt it gets canceled, but stuck. What do you think about the Ravens here in this desperation spot? You would think at least the effort from them will be top-notch.
Look, I would love for this game to be on Thursday night, Ravens-Steelers, but I hope for my wallet and others who've tailed me that it gets postponed to Sunday. Not only because Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams will most likely play if it's moved to Sunday because they're out on Thursday, but I can get my money back on my +3.5 that I bet 10 minutes before the COVID news broke. So I do think that if you can get fine, and you might have to wait until after the Steelers game, if you could find like the Ravens 20-1 to win the Super Bowl, take it. And the reason is they have to figure some things out on offense, which I'll get into, but they're gonna make the playoffs. I mean, even if they lose to the Steelers, they still have on their schedule the Bengals, now without Burrow, at home, the Jags at home, the Giants at home, and the Cowboys at home. So those are your 10 wins. On defense, they have arguably the best defense in the NFL. They have all the pieces that they need. And two of those most important pieces are Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell up front. They're two of their best run defenders. And without them, they just can't defend the run. When they're not there eating blocks, it exposes Patrick Queen, who's been horrendous when doesn't have space to just run free, and Malik Harrison. Their rookie linebackers are very small, they're quick, and they can't really shed blocks, and they're getting crushed in run defense. The difference in run defense without Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams is just massive. And if you look, the last time these two teams played, they held the Steelers to 220 total yards, completely shut them down. This is how the Ravens, their front seven, looked. Hey, Calais Campbell won't play. Brandon Williams won't play. Pernell McPhee, outside linebacker, won't play. Jimmy Smith might not play. So, and who knows if there's going to be other people. So their defense is obviously just a shell of itself. Now, for this particular matchup, I don't necessarily think the Steelers will really take advantage of the weak Ravens run defense. The Steelers haven't been running the ball well at all this year. And they don't have a Derrick Henry, and their offensive line is just playing much worse. So on that side of the ball, I think the Ravens will hang. And yeah, this will be a max effort game. Against the Titans, it was such poor tackling across the board and missed tackles that, yeah, this team will be fired up. They have the corners, even if Jimmy Smith isn't there. And I just don't think the Steelers' offense is that good. It's average at best. And Roethlisberger was limited with a quad. First time he popped up on the injury report, same with Juju Schuster today. But the Steelers have played the easiest schedule in the NFL to date. Here's the defenses they faced, ranked 7th, 10th. 7th was the Ravens, by the way. They had 220 yards. 13th, 16th, 22nd, 26th, 28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st. They basically faced every worst defense in the NFL. How about the offenses that they faced? 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 31st, 32nd, and 14th and 3rd, the Titans. And the 14th is the Ravens. So they faced, from a DVOA perspective, one top 10 defense. I guess Denver's in there now. and the Ravens dominated them. They faced three backup quarterbacks, Luton, Triscoll, and Gilbert. But that said, their defense is very good. I don't think anyone will argue that. It's one of the best defenses in the NFL. The Ravens still have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Their run defense without these guys is not that great, but I don't think the Steelers can take advantage. So I think this is an under game. Without all the injuries, and I played under 46, I'd play under 45 still. Down to, I wouldn't go 44, but I'd play under 44 and a half. Teams have adjusted to what the Ravens want to do. Lamar Jackson loves throwing into zone defenses, and he's not the most accurate passer in the world throwing into man-to-man coverage, and that's what teams are doing more often now. I think they're going to have to run Lamar a lot. They're going to have to do a lot more. I mean, you could argue it's their season. We don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the AFC. I know they have a really easy schedule down the line, but I think you're going to have to run Lamar wild. You're going to have to design a lot of runs here because the Steelers have slow linebackers. And he put up, look, the Ravens put up 470 yards against the Steelers defense. So this Steelers team is overrated. They're 10-0, but they've played nobody. So I think the Ravens can hang around here. The injuries are just a killer. But I think this line is getting out of hand now. I loved it at 3.5, assuming that Campbell and Williams might not play. Now that I wouldn't have played it knowing who's out now and knowing that they're not practicing and like it's on a short week, it makes it a lot tougher. But at 5, 5.5, I would lean Ravens. This game should be close. But my favorite play here now is the under. But the Ravens have to adjust. They have to adjust to the league because the league has adjusted to them. The defense could win a game or two in the playoffs, but that's the ceiling.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because the Ravens are starting to remind me of the Steelers in a way. It's like really good defense and an offense that could be their downfall. But it is odd that, you know, as good as Greg Roman, and Greg Roman has done great jobs with like Tyrod Taylor, Colin Kaepernick. Like he's taken guys that were supposed to have little to no future or at least, you know, long-term as starter futures in the NFL and gotten some really good seasons out of them. But like, I think it's just weird that he hasn't anticipated some of these adjustments because it was clear, I thought, from last postseason's loss to Tennessee that, okay, you go through the season, you just rampage teams, Lamar is putting the fear of God in defenses, and then Tennessee figures you out. And it just seems like, yeah, I get that there's been injuries, but that's another thing you have to anticipate. I mean, everyone talked about it. You know, the Ravens were like one of the most lucky teams injury-wise. Like they had great injury luck last year. So, like, I just feel like there wasn't a lot of anticipation. And it's setting Lamar up to fail in a way if, like, you have your best receiver is Mark Andrews. And, you know, I know he has he deals with diabetes, if I'm not mistaken, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like I know he's not going to play every snap. He's not a great blocker all the time. So, you know, use him more like a slot receiver. But you have your best receiver and he comes off the field like 30% or more of your pass plays. Then you have your other best receiver in Marquise Brown. And, you know, you haven't really adjusted to the fact that defenses are playing less zone. And you're using him on a lot of low percentage routes, which would be fine if like he was, you know, a decoy who could open things up for other guys. But in reality, the other guys are Miles Boykin, who barely ever gets open. Devin Duvernay, who's average, you know, great on special teams, average depth of target is like 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Dez Bryant now, whose average depth of target was 2 last week, and he gets no separation. A fullback or the second tight end is on the field over half the time. And then the running backs don't really give you much in the pass game outside of maybe Dobbins, who, you know, up until very recently was kind of just being taken off the field for Gus Edwards, even in passing situations for no rhyme or reason. So it's like, who is Lamar Jackson supposed to throw to? And it'd be one thing if, like, your play action game was just pristine, but that's not happening this year. And it just feels like this was like a slow to adjust situation. Now, part of it, just everything kind of went wrong at once. But for a coordinator who has just taken these quarterbacks and, you know, kind of devised these great plans for them to succeed, it's just odd that, when Lamar called them out, it's kind of clear. I think Lamar is like, okay, you know, enough. And, you know, it's just kind of odd to me that like it's taken so long for him to flip that switch and kind of change it up. I lean Ravens too. I think this line is a little bit out of hand, and I just think we're going to get – like, you've talked about this so many times. Like, Mike Tomlin's a rah-rah coach, and just everything that's kind of developed with, you know, the COVID and the Ravens' offense struggling and Bill Belichick throwing shade and the Steelers are undefeated. It's like it took a lot of the rah-rah out of this for his side that you kind of want in this divisional matchup. All the adversity and kind of the desperation favors the Ravens here. So I lean Ravens, and yeah, I agree on the under. I think you know, though, the Steelers, their offense is, I've talked about this, you've talked about it, it's not great. You know, so you're just hoping that, like, no crazy turnover luck things happen, or a Ray McLeod like jet sweep 80 yarder. But I think we'll see a lot better Ravens team this weekend.
Yep. Ravens have the edge on special teams too. Remember that, as always.
So, you know, for you guys out there, if you want to see all the things we're betting for this game, I'm sure I'll throw in some props into the app as well. Be sure to follow us on the Action Network app, Stucks at Stucky 2. I'm at Chris Raybon, and check out actionnetwork.com or the app for all of the content on the three games and into the rest of the weekend. And speaking of Thanksgiving football, BetMGM has a great sign-up offer for the Turkey Day games. New customers can bet $1 and win $100 in free bets if any team scores a touchdown on Thanksgiving. Just sign up and make your first bet using bonus code ACTION100. Download the BetMGM app today or visit BetMGM.com to sign up and use the code ACTION100 to bet $1 and win $100 in free bets if any of the teams playing on Thanksgiving score a touchdown. As a reminder, you must be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promo offer not available in Nevada. All right, it's enough Thursday for now. Still got Sunday to get to. Let's get in to the week number 12 Sunday six pack.
Thirsty for action? Let's crack open the Sunday six pack.
All right. We are on to week 12. You are up 32-26. I mean, the Eagles just Carson. I don't know how Carson Wentz does this week in and week out. It's like, I feel like when the Eagles approach the red zone now, it's almost like an automatic that if they're approaching the red zone early in the game, Carson Wentz is just going to throw a pick. Like, it's becoming absurd.
And this asshole goes down and scores a touchdown late. So then because I bet them two plus 3.5. So then I have to regret and think about the safety he took, because that ended up being the difference.
It was disgusting. So Carson Wentz is just, he's just been a nightmare. I still don't think the Browns are very good. And now it's like they get the win over the Eagles. They're 7-3. Their point differential still -23. And now they face a tanking Jaguar squad. So, you know, it's still kind of tough to bet against them. So just did not enjoy Carson Wentz's performance in that spot. But let's get into the week 12 six pack. I have the first pick. I am going with the Tennessee Titans +4 for my number one pick of the week 12 Sunday six pack. +4 at BetMGM, the official odds provider of the Action Network podcast. Listen, Tennessee, they've been here now for what? Maybe the last – ever since they inserted Ryan Tannehill, which is around week 7 last year. You look at the Colts. What did they do last year? They started off pretty good. Faded down the stretch. They shouldn't have won that game versus the Packers. I don't know what happened to the Packers. I mean, you know, it wasn't anything egregious as far as like, okay, Aaron Rodgers has this meltdown under pressure. But they get up 2014, and the Colts the Packers scored 3 points the rest of the game. So I'm not really sold on this Colts team. I've been saying it all year. I think they have some effort on defense, but the Titans are a team that they have enough offense to straight up outscore the Colts. And on the other side, Phillip Rivers, you have the, you know, he's got a sore toe, which I don't know what that means. They're subbing in Jacoby Brissett all the time. Phillip Rivers, I mean, watching that Green Bay game, it didn't even feel like the Colts won. I mean, Phillip Rivers was just, you know, his stats look decent, but you watch him play, and I think every time that he drops back to pass, like, Frank Reich and that coaching staff has to just be holding their breath. And to top it off, the offensive line is so inconsistent. It's like they have talent on paper, and they make some good blocks. But there was a point in the game where they could have put away the Packers. And what, was there like five straight penalties in a six-play sequence or something ridiculous like that? I mean,
they had nine holding calls.
Yeah. And then you look at the previous game, which the Colts ended up winning in, you know, the score looked pretty lopsided. But the Titans, and this is what you worry about when you bet on the Titans, but what was it, a block punt? Massive special teams errors that just essentially handed the Colts the game. But now you're looking at the Colts be a favor by more than a field goal. I don't buy it. This is a team, the Colts are a team that could win any game. They could also lose every game. Derrick Henry got going against them in that first matchup. You know, that's, you know, a little bit of the worry. He's like, okay, you know, is Derrick Henry going to be able to have a big game? But this is the time when Henry starts heating up every single season. And you just look at the Titans play, and I just think they have an edge to them that I don't know if the Colts have. And, like, the Colts have been getting lucky over these past 2 weeks. You know, they were lucky with those special teams mishaps and what could have been a lot tighter game. And then they were lucky that the Packers and just kind of went away and just stepped aside for 30-some-odd minutes of football last Sunday. So, you know, kudos to the Colts. Frank Reich always does a great job, but – a divisional game late in the year, getting more than a field goal for a team that I personally think is better, even with the defensive struggles, because offense is more important than defense, and the Titans have a top three offense according to DVOA. A.J. Brown just makes like one ridiculous play a game. And we've seen the thing about the outliers for the Titans, like we've seen them actually sustain this outlying success in the things that really matter, which is like red zone. Offense. So, yeah, are the Titans going to make you nervous on special teams? Sure, maybe don't bet them as a favorite, but just as risky as betting on, or more, I would actually say after watching last week, than betting on Gostkowski is betting on Phillip Rivers to cover you a game and get a third straight win. So, love the Titans this week. I expect them to win this game, to be honest.
Fair, but it's I got bad news for you. It's +3 at BetMGM.
Oh, okay. I mean, like I said, I'm taking it. I think they're gonna win, so it doesn't matter to me.
I'll give you 3.5. I bet +4, so I agree with you. I'll give you 3.5, and I'm gonna ask for a half point somewhere else at some point today. Okay. It's Thanksgiving. Oh, I'll be generous.
I appreciate it.
I make this 2. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction to, you know, the Colts beating the Packers, everyone saw it. The Colts beating the Titans a couple weeks before. I mean, the Titans offense, despite some of the offensive line injuries, it's been awesome. And, yeah, this is the time where Derrick Henry just starts abusing tired defenses and breaking tackles. You saw it in the game winner last week. He's kind of like – Joe Mixon's kind of like that too. They just – crush in November and December. Yeah, so I agree with you. I think the one thing to watch here, again, it's Tuesday. There's just a lot of injuries on the Titans offensive line. We'll see, but I don't think that it would be enough to make me make this line Colts -3 or above. Odoree Jackson, I think he's just a figment of our imagination. So, all right, for my first pick and the second overall in the Sunday six-pack, I'm going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hold your nose after what we saw last week. +3.5 at BetMGM at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, this is my first couple picks are just going to be pure buy low, sell high spots in the NFL, which are my favorite. Everyone last week saw the Bucs look horrendous against the Rams. And kudos to the Rams for that game plan, for their execution. The Bucs tackling was so bad. You expect a much better effort from the defense. And I would hope that Ali Marpet is back, which I thought he was going to play on Sunday. And when he doesn't play, he's one of the best guards in the NFL. Everyone shuffles around and moves positions, and the interior was so bad, and they couldn't get any run game going. Tom Brady might be, I don't know, just a little more washed than some people think. It's the fourth time they played a top 10 defense, and you couldn't do anything. But they were in third and long all day. They still shred average to bad defenses all year long and still have the talent on the outside. They should be able to run the ball here against the Chiefs, who are still one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. The Chiefs also aren't getting any pressure. Like, it's It's crazy. It's basically just Chris Jones. Frank Clark's having an awful year. There's no linebackers here. There's no edge rushers. They have to scheme up all their pressure. And they've played no – they have not impressed me against any good offenses this year. Everyone was so impressed with the Ravens game. Well, look, we've seen what the Ravens have looked like since. But they played the Raiders twice, and the Raiders put up 75 points and Carr's thrown for 600 yards and six touchdowns. This defense is not great. There's a reason that they're going out and they're trying to get DeAndre Baker, and there's just not many people playing that well. And if Marpet's back, which he should be, it's like a third week of concussion, that's huge to try and contain Chris Jones, who can get so much pressure up the middle, which can mess with Brady in that offense. But I think Tampa will move the ball at will. Tampa still have – look, I know what happened last week. I still have as a top five team in the NFL right now. I think they're fifth or sixth. I had to downgrade them. I upgraded the Rams. And I still have the Chiefs as the number one team in the NFL. But I make this line like 1, 1.5. So I will gladly take 3.5. It's basically just an overreaction to what we saw last week. Maybe it's just because Brady, like we say, it's Brady's bedtime, past Brady's bedtime. But this isn't an elite Chiefs defense. And the Bucs have shown with all that talent that they can still move the ball against average to below average defenses. When they're playing elite defenses so far, there's definitely a problem. But, hey, look, Brady after a loss, talk about it all the time, 33-12 against the spread, 73.3%, covering by an average of 6 points per game, 45% ROI. That's number one out of 203 quarterbacks in our Bet Labs database. So I'm sure you'll get a completely focused effort here from the Bucs. I know they're on a short week, but the Chiefs are coming across country after basically locking up the division. I'm sure their offense is 4 points, as it always does. But the Bucs have a really good defense, have a chance to maybe get a stop or two. I think this game will come down to the wire. Would it shock me if the Bucs won? No. Would it shock me if the Chiefs won? No. I'm basically just taking the 3.5. If it was 2.5, 2, probably wouldn't take it. But last week's performance against the Rams gets us the hook here. I'm buying low on the Bucs and taking 3.5 points at home.
I mean, this is another one of these fascinating spots, because it's like I was like joking but not joking the first time I said maybe Tom Brady is just sleepy. You know, like, he had like that senior moment against the Bears, and he did, and they do it again against the Giants, but they pull out a win. Okay, then they do it against the Saints, then they do it against the Rams. It's like it kind of also makes you think back to, and this is the one thing that concerns me. Like, I hate the fact that I'm all ready to like bet on the Bucs here. And I have 1.5 as well, but I hate that they're going against like the best coaching staff in the NFL, because I am also starting to think about a little more about what Dan Orlovsky said. Like, is it, this team has so much talent and they have so many letdowns. Like, is it game planning? On Monday night, you look at the way that the defense is set up. I know Marpet was out. You know, I know the Rams, you know, have Aaron Donald. But, like, it seemed to just be no intention of handing the football off. Like, it wasn't – I don't know if they, like, couldn't run the ball. They just didn't try. Like, this was kind of a 50-attempt Brady game the whole way. And, like, the Rams did that too. But they had a reason. Like, the Bucs defense in run – defending the run is excellent. But the Rams, you can run on the Rams, and the Bucs have played a lot better when they can run. And and then Brady's just going to Antonio Brown every play. Like, is there just kind of like some friction maybe between like Arians and what he wants to do, and then Brady and kind of letting him hang himself or something? Because it's like, I feel like there's something a little off here between Arians and Brady, and just uncharacteristic moments.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that gives me confidence in that department is because I do think establishing the run and having a complementary run game is important for Brady. Also, when you play the Chiefs, it's important because not only can you run on them, it keeps Mahomes on the sideline. After they put up that stinker against the Saints, when I backed them when they went to Carolina, Ronald Jones ran the ball 23 times for 192 yards. The Bucs ran the ball in total in that game 37 times for 210 yards in that game. And the Panthers are a comparable run defense to the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs have a much better offense. But then Brady, he still threw 39 times. He threw for 341 yards. But he had the run game there, and he had more manageable third downs. He wasn't just in spread shotgun on 3rd and 9, trying to throw slants to Antonio Brown the entire game. So I think the run game is going to – they should be able to run the ball here. That'll help them. That'll keep Mahomes off the sideline. I think that they've shown that they can do it against average to below average defenses. I think the Chiefs overall are a really bad run defense, an average overall defense. Yeah, but there's something that is off against these – just the offense goes to shit against any defense with a pulse. But I have to back them here based on my number at +3.5.
Oh, no, like they're totally the right play. And I'm surprised we have come to the end of talking about this game and you have not mentioned what I think is a key loss for the Chiefs on special teams. Byron Pringle, like he's one of their best special teams players. Like special teams guy over here, Steck. I'm surprised, man. Like I thought for sure you were going to drop a Pringle reference. But yeah, he got –
Well, don't you worry, because the other special teams thing is ever since on that – I don't even know who it was. Was it Romo, actually, who I like? Someone on a national broadcast was like, Harrison Butker is the best. It was during the Raiders game. He's the best kicker in the NFL. Since then, which is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard, since then he's missed, like, he leads the league in missed extra points. He misses an extra point once a week. So if the Chiefs are down by 3 late and Mahomes goes all the way down the field, scores a touchdown, as he's prone to do, maybe Butker misses an extra point for us and we cover the +3.5.
Hope you're enjoying this great Action Network podcast. I want to make sure you know about the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On has a daily podcast on your favorite team.
Welcome to you, Locked On 49ers.
You are locked on to the Dallas Mavericks.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Let's go!
Locked On podcasts are hosted by the local experts who know your team better than anyone and give you the inside scoop. So go to your podcast app and search Locked On, your favorite team. Subscribe to your Locked On podcast.
For my number 2 pick of the week, number 12, Sunday six pack, and the 3rd overall pick, I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons, +3 home dog letdown spot against the Las Vegas Raiders, who just play their best football against the Kansas City Chiefs. And like, it's becoming so absurd with this Raiders team and how good they're playing against the Chiefs that not only are they, you know, putting up big numbers on their defense, but Patrick Mahomes has 2 picks this year, both against the Raiders. Nearly 300 attempts against everyone else, doesn't have a pick. First of all, that's just ridiculous. Like in the age where we're talking about, you know, Lamar and him struggling, it's like Patrick Mahomes just continues to beast. But I digress. The Raiders, short week. You just like had a game that, you know, emotionally, I think it's going to be a letdown. And this Falcons team, I liked them last week. They didn't show up on the road. Sean Payton, great game plan on both sides of the ball, really. And the Saints defense starting to come together. But Falcons defense still, I think, is improved a lot since you had Raheem Morris take over for Dan Quinn. And this defense for the Raiders, this is not like the Saints defense. Like the Saints defense is number 5, top 5 now in DVOA. You're going against a Raiders defense that is nothing like the New Orleans Saints defense. And last week, the Falcons were the play because you were trying to take advantage of some uncertainty there with Taysom Hill. You know, would he be able to make it through a game? Of course, you know, Sean Payton, he wins that round. So, you know, salute to him. But now you're going through a letdown spot. You have the number 24 defense in DVOA. The Saints were number 3. So the Falcons scored 9 points. That is very uncharacteristic. Julio probably misses this game, to be honest, but it's a lot different for the Falcons to lose Julio mid-game when they think, you know, when they plan on him playing, because their receivers all practice in very specific spots. If you notice, you know, when like, it will be like Blake behind Ridley and Zacchaeus behind Jones and Powell behind Gage. But when they have a week to prepare, you know, for a Julio absence or Ridley absence, then that's when you kind of see them mix things up. I think Zacchaeus does have some talent, but this is just a buy low spot. Buy low, sell high. You know, the Raiders didn't even win last week, but apparently they've arrived. You know, the Falcons, really, this should have been their first loss in the Morris era. They, you know, Todd Gurley mistakenly scored a touchdown against the Lions, and so they lost that game too. But this has clearly been a better team. You look at the defense, in the five games with Quinn, 38, 40, 30, 30, 23 allowed, average 32.2. In the five games under Raheem Morris, 23, 23, 17, 27, 24, a lot more respectable. I think Keanu Neal helps a lot. I thought Sean Payton just put on a clinic last week. The Falcons linebackers looked confused all game. They didn't know whether to look at Kamara, whether to look at Taysom Hill. They forgot to cover Emmanuel Sanders at times. I mean, just kind of a bad game that, but now you're back at home. And this is like my, one of my favorite bye woes, you know? So it might seem like an odd play or one that's kind of like uncomfortable, but you look at these spots and especially with an offense like this, with, you know, still some playmakers going against a bad defense, even if Julio's out, teams that score under 10 points. And it's a really kind of swift discrepancy. It's like when the casual bettor sees a team that gets held under 10 points, almost always is their value on the other side in the next week. Underdogs who have scored under 10 points the week before versus a favorite, as long as that favorite isn't coming off a bye, are 251, 174, and 10, 59% on, you know, over 400 game sample size dating all the way back to 2003. That's a 15% ROI. This season, in case you're wondering, you know, talking about a trend going back to 2003 at 59%, is it stale? 8-1 this season. This is just one of the best buy low spots in NFL betting. Home dog for the Falcons in a game, you know, Raiders have been playing real well, but they didn't make a stop. And, you know, for a large portion of that game against the Chiefs, and the Falcons, just as easy as they can kind of lay an egg, they can get right back to it, especially with a week to prepare if one of their key guys is going to be out. So love the Falcons at +3, the home dog against the Raiders. Oh, and one more note, another one that's interesting to point out. When you see spots like this, it also kind of goes into the buy low narrative, but unders that, you know, open lower than 3, and usually it's around 2.5, they get steamed to 3, 38 and 18, 68%. So just a great spot where no one's going to trust the Falcons after they don't even put up 10 points last week.
Yeah, I agree. I'll be on this. I'm hoping that Julio plays, and I'm sure if he gets announced in, this line will probably tick down, but I make it 1. And with both of these offenses going up against questionable defenses, probably a coin flip game and maybe who has the ball last. And yeah, it is a letdown here in a buy low, sell high spot, which is why you're probably getting 3. And yeah, I think that the Falcons defense have been playing a lot better over the past couple of weeks. I think that they prepped for Jameis and then they didn't know who was going to play. And then so there was, you know, Friday they did get announced that Taysom was going to start, but you probably already implemented your game plan. Maybe you were doing 50-50. And so I think that the Falcons D has been playing a little better than they were earlier in the year. And they shouldn't have any problem. Matt Ryan shouldn't have any problems before last week playing extremely good football, moving the ball against the Raiders D.
The NFL season is upon us, and our friends at BetMGM Sports are offering Action Network podcast listeners a great sign-up offer. Just make your first deposit using the bonus code ACTIONPOD and receive a 100% deposit match up to $500. They've got parlay bonus payouts, live betting markets, daily odds boosts, all sorts of great stuff. So download the BetMGM app today or visit BetMGM.com to sign up and use the code ACTIONPOD to double your bankroll with a 100% deposit match up to $500. As a reminder, you must be 21 or older and physically located in the great states of Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promo offer not available in Nevada. And now, back to the show.
For my second pick of the Sunday six-pack and the fourth overall, I am going with the San Francisco 49ers +7. At BetMGM, they
If you want that half point, you can
have I'll take that. I'll take that half now.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. At the Los Angeles Rams, situationally, I mean, look, this is if the Rams lost by 4, 7, 3, this line's probably 5 or 6. The Rams are traveling again. That was their fifth trip out east. They are now in a short week coming back out west. This has got to catch up to them eventually. While the 49ers are coming off of a bye, and they're basically playing for their season. I mean, they lose this game, they're out of playoff contention. And they should get, maybe, again, it's Tuesday night, a number of players back. I think Richard Sherman's going to come back. That'll be huge. Jason Verrett is playing really well at one corner spot. Deebo Samuel, they just need him on the offensive end. They could do so many things. He should come back. Mostert and Coleman, they might come back as well. So this team might be a lot healthier. Now, there's a big elephant in the room. There's a bunch of 49ers on the COVID list. You have six starters. Armstead, Kinlaw, they obviously need them against the Rams. Ayuk, Trent Williams. Trent Williams is probably not going to play. DJ Jones. So that won't help if all those guys are out, but I'm hoping that their contract tracing and then they will be able to play. But look, the first time that the Rams played the 49ers shut them down. It was 24-9 late in the fourth quarter before a late Rams touchdown. Especially now if they get Sherman back, they excel at stopping the run, stopping the short pass. It's how you really contain this Rams offense. You're also giving McVay a short week. You know, so it's not like he has seven. He's got to fly back. He has this full 7 days to prepare a game plan for the 49ers. I'm sure he spent every waking hour preparing for the Bucs. So that can only help the 49ers here, who've had 2 weeks to prepare for the Rams. So I think this is a good spot to get the 49ers catching seven and a half in a buy low, sell high spot. And I think that this is the 49ers have been playing. Look, they went to the Saints and they were catching 10 at the Saints, and they should have won and covered with ease, if not for some muff punts. Hopefully they don't muff any punts and some awful official calls, but they should have covered that with ease. I thought that line should have been like 6 or 7, and now they're going to the Rams. I think the Saints are a couple points better than the Rams. So I think this line should be like 4.5, 5 once you account for a short week and the 49ers coming off of a bye, getting a little healthier, assuming some of these guys on the COVID list come back. So I think it's a good spot, good matchup, and 49ers will be able to run the ball a little bit. Yeah, give me the 49ers here, +7, +7.5 for their season. Let down, sell high on the Rams here.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is a game I had my eye on. I have it at 5. You have it at 4.5. So we're pretty much in line with our power ratings for this spot. You guys, of course, can check out our pro lines in the Action Network app. So those are kind of where, you know, those are derived from our projections straight up and showing some value here. I did want to get your opinion because everything you said is 100% correct. Just more generally on these type of situations, COVID. Things could go either way. We haven't, you know, for the most part, we've seen guys get activated, you know, day before the game or so. But how do you treat this from a betting perspective where, on one hand, as it currently stands, there's probably, I would say, a good, you know, 1.5 at least value on the Niners, but also knowing that it could potentially move the other way and give you even more value if some guys get ruled out. Like how do you treat this situation? Do you kind of hedge? Do you put like maybe half a unit of what you would usually play? Like any tips there?
And also home field isn't as big, by the way, in divisional matchups. And I have home field around 1 on average and aggregate. So, and the situation here, that's why I have this at 4.5. Part of the reason in this case, I see a lot of value at 4.5. If I had to adjust for a lot of these players, I would still have this line under 7. And if some of these players get ruled out, it's not great for the matchup, but the line is 7. What would it go to? 9? I don't think it's going to cross 10. Now, if the line was 2, +2, then I would probably wait because if they're ruled out, then I can get +3. If they're ruled in and the line comes down and I have to take +1 or pick, it's not that much of a difference between +2. So it's going to depend on the discrepancy between where the number is and where my number is, and then also where the actual spread sits around key numbers, et cetera.
Definitely. And to tie a bow on it with the Niners, a little bit of recency bias. You know, they've lost three straight games where they've been the underdog in all three. But for his career, Kyle Shanahan still covering as an underdog at a 56% clip. And before those three losses, Saints, Packers, Seahawks, their previous two games as an underdog were against the Patriots and the Rams. They won those games outright, 33-6 over the Patriots as a three-point underdog. And then they were a two-point underdog in a game that I think we were both on in a massive way. They won that game against the Rams, these same very Rams. So this is the 49ers are kind of a mind fuck, for lack of a better term. They are usually at their best just when you write them off. And also kind of another great buy, well, similar to the Falcons, an underdog historically on a three-game straight-up losing streak, regardless of what happened against the spread, but just straight-up three-game losing streak. In that fourth game after that three-game losing streak, 171, 126, and 9, 58% since 2003, according to our Action Labs data, including 8-4 against the spread this season. So, like that.
Yeah, that just speaks to, look, team lost three in a row. No one wants to bet them. You get an extra point or two.
Right, and that's what we're doing at this point in the year. I think, you know, it's that time where you're just kind of playing the market for kind of overreactions. All right, for the number five pick in the Sunday six pack, my last pick, I am going with the New York Giants -5.5 at BetMGM, the official odds provider of the podcast. And this is really simple for me. Usually not a team I'm going to be betting on as a favorite. But Ryan Finley, I just think he's very bad at quarterbacking. And I think the Giants are a very well-coached team. And I think there were huge red flags with Finley in that sometimes backup quarterbacks actually have an advantage and in these kind of spots. You don't have film on them or whatever not. But I think the two red flags I see with Finley are, number one, you also usually see backup quarterbacks have some success in, you know, when they come in relief because the defense hasn't prepared for them and they can usually get a few passes off. That did not happen for Ryan Finley in the spot against the Washington football team. But on top of that, this isn't a new quarterback. This is a guy who did get three starts around this time last year, and the Bengals failed to score 13 points in any of those starts. So this is a game where I think the Giants are clearly the better team. I think Finley, you know, even from Burrow, who, you know, had his ups and downs, offensive line had him under siege in a lot of spots. He wasted early part of the year targeting AJ Green way too much. But I still think this is a pretty significant downgrade from Burrow to Finley, just talent-based, just based on what we've seen out or what we haven't seen out of Finley. You're also, you know, the weapons are kind of shaky as well with no Mixon. You're going with Samaje Perine and Gio Bernard in the backfield, which normally would play a bigger role in a game like this where, you know, under normal circumstances, I think this would be a winnable game for Cincinnati. But this is another spot where Giants tend to be at their best. On the road, they are 9-2 against the spread in Daniel Jones's career. And I think they play well. I think they're the far better coach team. And you also have now the superior team, without a doubt, coming off a bye and road favorites off a bye since 2003, doubling up against the spread 64-32 with a few pushes in there. But that's a 67% success rate since 2003 for road favorites off of a bye. And I think this will be a good one for Joe Judge in this spot.
Yeah, I make the line kind of spot on, but I don't hate it. Ryan Finley's awful. And as a result of Burrow going out and Ryan Finley coming in, I mean, I had the Bengals at like 9.2 points below average. I mean, only the Jets are worse now. Yeah, I would not want to be backing Ryan Finley. All right, for my third pick and the final pick of the Sunday six pack. I am going with the Denver Broncos plus six at BetMGM at home against the New Orleans Saints. Now, what this comes down to, I was on the Broncos last week too. It's scary backing Drew Locke. The defense is playing really well. They have a number. I mean, their safeties are excellent. They probably have the top one, two or three safety groups in the NFL with Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson. Their corners with Bouye, who maybe he's over the hill in Wash. He's 30 now and not grading out well, but Callahan's playing really well. But they just have a number of other guys that are playing well, that they have these fines on their defensive line. You know, Chubb is obviously back. The defense is a top 10 defense pretty much by any metric you look at this year. So are the Saints. I love this under, by the way. The Saints have a historically great run defense. Top 10 DVOA of all time. Teams aren't even trying to run on them at this point. And so do the Bucs, too, before last week. I don't know if they still do, but both teams this year. And the Saints have a really good run defense. You could throw on them a little bit, but then you're relying on Drew Lock. But basically what this – which can be scary, which I'll admit. But basically what this game comes down to is I love the under. I think it's going to be ugly as hell, and I make it four. And why I make it four, some people might differ. I think a couple of our analysts too. It's basically how I grade out – because I have the Saints rated as the best team in the NFC. How you grade out Taysom Hill. And I think – I am not high on Taysom Hill at all. Last week, you know, I think that they benefited from it being his first game starting. He was only used in gadget plays and put in, like, the best situations. The Falcons didn't know he was going to be the starter until 2 days before, and they still didn't probably know for sure if Peyton was going to bluff or not. And he played well. I mean, he didn't light up the scoreboard against a really bad Falcons defense, by the way. Now he's going up against a really good Broncos D. One of his longest completions of the day was, what, a 30-yard pass downfield that he underthrew by 15 yards, and Sanders had to come back to get it. I mean, that ball's picked all day against Denver by their safeties. So I think he's going to make a couple mistakes here. The Broncos have film on what Peyton wants to do with him now. They know he's going to be the starter. I think he's going to struggle here in Denver against a really good defense. If you believe in Taysom Hill as a quarterback, you probably might like the Saints here or might make it six or seven. I think this is an ugly game where 6 points at home is just too much for me to pass up on. So give me the Denver Broncos. Drew Lock season.
I get it. I'm not there. I have it around six. Listen, I was wrong about the Miami Dolphins last week, and you were on that. I rewatched the Taysom game twice because it felt like he was having a really bad game passing the football and just kind of a nondescript game overall. But you look up and he's 18 of 23 for 233 yards, over 10 yards an attempt. Now, granted, as you mentioned, that duck to Emmanuel Sanders contributed to a lot of that. The thought I just came away with from that game was like, wow, Sean Payton is really good at what he does. And I mean, last week at this time, I was writing an article about what looked like it could end up being a tight rookie of the year race with, you know, Herbert and Joe Burrow, and then Burrow gets hurt. And, you know, Tua was kind of working in the distance. I think he was way overvalued, but like still didn't see him getting benched coming, right? Like that was credit to the Denver defense. But man, it just feels like that was their peak now. It's like Sean Payton just scares me in this one. That's really what it comes down to. But, like, the Saints, they're not at home. They're in Mile High. They have a quarterback not named Drew Brees starting. So it's like, do we take that into account? Or and you know, great Fangio defense, great secondary play. Or is this just another continuation of what we saw last year, where it's just like, okay, Teddy Bridgewater's 1-0 against the spread. Okay, he's 2-0. Okay, he's 3-0. Okay, he's 4. Like, Sean Payton, man. He's a scary dude to bet against. That's kind of where I have it.
If Taysom proves it to me this week, then I will give him a bump. This is outdoors with a team time to prepare. And the difference between the Broncos and the Falcons defense and secondary specifically is massive. So that's what I'm counting on here. I'm giving the Broncos.
All right, that wraps it up for the Week 12 Sunday six-pack stuck, going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 3.5 at home against the Chiefs, the 49ers plus 7.5 at the LA Rams, the team they beat earlier in the year, and the Broncos at home plus 6 against the Taysom Hill-led New Orleans Saints. I'm going with the Tennessee Titans plus 3.5 at the Indianapolis Colts, the Atlanta Falcons plus 3 as a home dog against the Raiders, and the New York Giants minus 5.5 against Ryan Finley, starting for the first time this season after Joe Burrow's season-ending knee injury. Now, let's get into our favorite over-under plays of the week. I went first for the six-pack stuck, so who you got for the total?
I'm going with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Cleveland Browns, over 49.5. I love this over. Look, I think Minshew's going to play. Word is he's 100%, and Luton is terrible. So I'm hoping that he plays. But even if Luton plays, maybe he can lead a few drives. It would get scary, and I would not play it if Luton plays. I'm counting on Minshew playing. But look, the Jaguars' defense is decimated. They don't get pressure, the 32nd pressure rate, so we know Mayfield can have some success. The only guy who gets pressure on the Jags, Josh Allen. Well, he's out. They also, DJ Hayden, their safety, Daniel Thomas is out. CJ Henderson's on IR. Sidney Jones is bagged up. You might be starting here Luke Barco, rookie undrafted out of San Diego State. And Claybrook's also got hurt last week. And Josiah Scott, a fourth-round rookie out of Michigan State, along with Trey Herndon. So you might be starting two rookies who have 23 combined starts, and Trey Herndon's been terrible for 3 years. This Jaguars defense is terrible. They also can't defend them. I mean, the Browns are going to be able to push them around, do whatever they want. Mayfield will be fine. They don't get any pressure. And it's maybe there could be a little rain, but it's going to be 76 and no wind. And the Cleveland Browns' offensive numbers are a little deflated because of they've been playing in these crazy weather games. Now, on the flip side, they're – defensive numbers, which is really funny because their defensive numbers aren't even that great. Browns, from a DVOA perspective, grayed out below average on defense. And here are the teams they played offensives, DVOA rank, in the non-crazy weather games, the three non-crazy weather games. 22nd, 27th, 27th again, the Bengals. 28th, 26th, 16th, and 17th. Not one top 15 offense. They gave up an average of 33.5 points per game. The only top, even if you include weather, the only top 14 offense they faced all year was the Raiders. And they played that game in 30 to 40 mile an hour winds. This defense is not good. They benefited from these three crazy weather games the last 3 weeks. And now they won't have their two best players in Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. So I think Mitchell's going to play. You might get Chenault back. These will be two terrible defenses on the field. Browns should do a little more on offense in nicer weather. Their defense should get exposed. And the Jags defense right now is, with their losses, is horrendous. Give me the over.
Yeah, I mean, they look like they're in tank mode right now. I'm so mad that this kind of set up the way it did because I was hoping so much to be able to fade Cleveland coming off just benefiting from – it's really been all year with them. But, yeah, I think that's the right play given the Jags defense. I am going with the Bears-Packers under 45.5 at BetMGM. Listen, these two teams played twice last year, as they do every year. In the two matchups combined, they didn't get over 45. 21-13 Packers in a 10-3 game. They scored 44 points combined in the two matchups. You may have some weather factoring in here as well. Temps are forecasted right around freezing. And you also have 15-mile-per-hour winds forecasted, which is when you really start to see a downtick in offense, but I have the Bears rated as the lowest total team in the league. I mean, they're just excellent on defense. They're not taking like a lot of unnecessary risks with that great defense. Like they rarely blitz. So just kind of a defense that you expect to make Aaron Rodgers struggle a little bit. Similar to the Colts in the second half last week, similar to the Buccaneers earlier in the year. But at the same time, it's like, Packers' vulnerabilities on defense are not going to be exploited by one of Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. With plays being called by I guess it's Bill Lazor again for Matt Nagy, and the Bears, you know, Bears kicking in high winds. Like, this is just not going to be an offensive explosion. This is a kind of tailor-made divisional under with two teams that have done that at a high rate. So in the recent Matt Nagy era, 21-13, 10-3, 24-17, you have to go back to the first meeting between these teams in 2018 on September 9th to find a game that went over the total of 45, a 24-23 game. Aaron Rodgers, in his career, divisional unders against the Bears are nearly doubling up, 15-8, 65%. So just one of these spots for getting late in the year. It's getting colder. Aaron Rodgers had the big start. He always torches bad defenses, but I think the Packers would be happy to just play this one close to the vest. They don't have to do too much against this Bears offense. All right, so that does it for the favorite totals of the week. Stuck going with Browns, Jags over 49.5, and I am going with Bears, Packers under 45.5 on Sunday Night Football. We'll have a write-up for that one as well, so check that out. Now let's get into our favorite teaser of the week.
Oh, yeah. 6-point teasers.
All right, Stuck, as I mention every week, you have some great content out on teasers on the Action Network. So if anyone needs to kind of get more of an overview on how to do this, go check those out. But essentially, you're getting extra points. Usually it's 6. That's what we do here. That's the standard. 6 extra points on bets that you can combine. So if you're teasing an 8-point favorite, they become a 2-point favorite, 8-point dog, 14-point dog, etc. We got this week for your 2-team 6-point teaser.
Keep it brief and simple. I think the Packers win. I'll take them under a field goal, and I think the Falcons at least keep it within one possession, so I'll take them +9. Falcons, Packers.
Yeah, similar feelings about the Packers, taking them down to 2.5, and then teasing the Browns down to -1. If the Jaguars hadn't just kind of put all these guys on the IR, and it would have been a little dicier of a spot, but I think this is a good spot for the Browns offense. So Browns, Packers, let's get right into our Moneyline underdog parlay.
Turning good weekends into great weekends. It's time for the Moneyline parlay.
Your pick this week. Not gonna lie, I didn't quite see it coming. It is a Stuck-like pick, but tell the people who you're choosing for your Moneyline dog this week.
Going with the New York Football Jets.
Woo!
0-10 Jets at home against the Dolphins. This might be their last chance to win a game this year. Darnold might give it a go, and that'll really help this week because you need to be mobile against the Dolphins, who are going to blitz the hell out of you. I've been calling the Tua has been awful for weeks. He should have thrown like 5 picks versus the Chargers. They were like going through guys' hands. He was getting extremely lucky. And then last week against the Broncos, he turned in one of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen in my life. The Dolphins had like 80 yards through 3 quarters. And they're going to go back to him. So I know the Jets' offensive line has nobody left. Their secondary has nobody left. But the Dolphins aren't going to get defensive touchdowns and fumbles at the 1, which they got again, and special teams touchdowns forever. Tua just hasn't impressed me. I think he's going to be good, but he's still a rookie quarterback. It takes time sometimes. Some guys, it doesn't. So, yeah, just a feeling here. The Jets might make this a game. I make the line 7, 7.5-ish, so there's no value in backing the Jets. So I'll take a flyer that you get a bad Tua game. Although he might have a short leash, which is one of the reasons why it's tough game to bet. But, yeah, give me the Jets.
I mean, that is a hot take. I really didn't see that one coming. I have it projected a bit higher, though. I do think it's kind of a – like situationally a little bit of better spot for the Jets in terms of betting, you know, value. Like the Dolphins have been covering at a high rate before last week. So generally you want to fade those kind of teams. That's been profitable in the past, but I do make it a little high. It's another spot where I just think the Dolphins have such a coaching advantage here that more of a stay away for me, but I mean, great value on the +250. For Stuck, I am going with the San Francisco 49ers to pull off the upset against the Rams. Again, love the buy low, sell high opportunities this type of year. Rams coming off an impressive stretch, coming off a primetime defeat of one of the best teams in the National Football League. But again, the 49ers have won quite a few games, you know, since Kyle Shanahan took over outright as an underdog. And this is a spot where they already won the first game. Now, usually you see value on the other side in situations like this, but just because the 49ers have been so decimated by injury and the Rams are coming off this kind of visible performance, you're not really seeing that. So plus 240, we're getting the Niners at. So this is actually a pretty juicy parlay. Those two bets, if they hit, would pay out $1,100, nearly $1,090 on a $100 bet. So this is quite a juicy parlay. Should be an interesting one, but we're getting to that time of year where we feel like we've seen enough to know what's going to happen, and then the league throws some curveballs at us. So love getting the big juicy money line plays at this time of year. All right, now let's get into the best of the rest, which are the games that we did not hit on in any other segment. We're going to start with, seems kind of like a similar spot to the last few weeks. We got the Cardinals, short spread against another quarterback on the other end that can also run. We just had Cardinals Bills. We just had Cardinals Seahawks. And then we just had Patriots Ravens and Patriots Texans. So it just feels like the same matchup over and over again. But Arizona, 2.5-point favorites, going to Foxborough off the long week. Kyler Murray visibly bothered by his shoulder, or Cliff Kingsbury, or a combination of both, or the fact that he still has to target Larry Fitzgerald 10 times. I don't know. Kyler Murray, just the body language was odd in that Seahawks game. And I'm surprised it's not a bigger talking point, because, I mean, Cam Newton, Blake Bortles, those guys got lit up for that kind of body language. But Kyler coming off a long week, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, play calling was pretty bad too. I think this line is a little too high, but it's at 2.5. I make it like 1-ish. I like the over. I played some over 48.5, 49. The New England offense is playing a lot better now. The offensive line is just awesome, and it's healthy. And, you know, Damian Harris, maybe you get a lot more of him now. He's, by some accounts, been graded out as one of the best backs in the NFL. And then you have, you know, Jacoby Myers and Damir Bird are playing really well at receiver. Cam Newton over the last few weeks is playing well. I'm not a believer in this Arizona defense. I think that they've overperformed a bit. They just don't have much. And I think Patrick Peterson is 30 years old. He's past his prime, just like Gilmore might be. On the other side, Patriots on the other side, their defense is not good. They're 32nd DVOA. So I don't see them slowing down the Cardinals rushing attack, Murray running the ball, or throwing the ball. It's just a rebuilt bad defense with a secondary that's on the decline. So I think this is going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, we've had a couple of kind of lower-scoring Patriots games. After that, you know, of course, they go over against the Jets a few weeks ago, and that's the game they get behind on. But you would think that the Cardinals bounce back after a couple of shaky weeks and not – really underperforming against that Seahawks defense. Then we have Carolina. This game.
Yeah, Cardinals number one in adjusted situation neutral pace, too. So they're going to go fast. But God.
Yeah, that's always the plan. It's like the opposing forces coming together. Carolina, this game has been off the board at many books. Don't know exactly if who's going to start quarterback for Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater has a chance. If he does, I actually like Carolina in this game, but I think Minnesota's been a little overrated ever since they had that like bounce back, you know, as you detailed last week. But it kind of goes the other way. You expect like a letdown if he's out. So kind of an odd situation. But 4.5 with a total of 48, it looks like, at BetMGM right now. But that could obviously change by the time you guys hear this. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, maybe look over, but you got to wait to see the Thielen play. He's on the COVID list. you know, does Bridgewater play? It doesn't look like McCaffrey will play, but the Vikings defense is just not that good. And Dalvin Cook should go wild against this Panthers run D. I've had a good read on the Vikings all year, and I think this might be an over game. But yeah, stay tuned to app and the content we'll have later in the week, because we need a lot more clarity on who's in and who's out.
Yeah, good. Kirk Cousins playing well for Vikings. That Jefferson pick just makes the Eagles' struggles look even worse. The Chargers. Speaking of worse, the Chargers, you know, I'm kind of watching that game, switching back and forth last week. I'm like, oh, well, you know, all it takes is the Jets for the Chargers to finally get their cover after it's just, you know, everything's been elusive for them over these past few weeks, more or less. And what do you know? Adam Gase decides he's taking a play call in the second half. The Chargers somehow do not cover against the Jets in a game that felt like they dominated for like eight quarters, but it was only halftime. Herbert had like 280 yards and I think two or three touchdowns. So now 5.5, kind of a dead number, not quite six, at Buffalo, total 53.5. Herbert versus Josh Allen, what do you think?
Yeah, the bye came with the big coaching advantage for the Bills here. They'll probably find a way to win this game. I make this line around 5.5-6, so no interest for me. Bills are in a good spot here off of a bye. They needed that bye. Their offensive line is finally now healthy. Their secondary is finally now healthy. One, they're going to get Milano back next week. That he really elevates their defense, so he won't be back. John Brown didn't practice today. Their offense is a lot better with him, and that's something to keep an eye on. But Chargers coming across the country, taking on the Bills off of a bye, big coaching advantage for the Bills. They definitely get a bump for that. So I would lean Bills. This could be a high-scoring game without weather. I don't think that there's weather in Buffalo. A lot of times there is this time of year. But pass for me. Lines look about right.
Yeah, I think what you said at the end, it's probably going to be a high-scoring game just because.
Yeah, I think it could be a very high-scoring game. And it's a 6-mile-an-hour winds in Buffalo, 50 degrees. A lot of times it could be way worse in December. That's not going to be an issue. So I think this could be a shootout. And Bills probably find a way to win.
Yeah, and they're also familiar with Anthony Lynn. Remember, he was on their staff for a number of years. So it is a good spot for the Bills, but just not really a lot of value.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now.
That is going to wrap it up for the best of the rest. Let's do the coach's pep talk. Today's coach's pep talk comes to us from Joan Cusack and Steve Martin from the 1990 film My Blue Heaven. We're going to dedicate it to Ben DiNucci, Jimmy G, our producer Matt, my man Stucky, and all the other Italians celebrating Thanksgiving this week.
I was in a hurry. I was on my way to church to say a few novenas for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is not a Catholic holiday.
Thanksgiving is very big with the Italians. Turkey cacciatore, sweet potato parmesan.
There is no such thing as Thanksgiving in Italy. It is an American holiday.
Ever been to Sicily by any chance?
No.
Thanksgiving is very big in Sicily on account of the large number of Sicilians who went to America and then got thrown back out.
Let's get into the Survivor pool pick real quick, and then we'll do our special Thanksgiving side draft to wrap up the podcast. Survivor pool pick of the week. Here we go.
One pick. One chance to advance. Survivor.
All right, Stuck. So I actually picked incorrectly again last week for the second time this year after going perfect last year. Already two misses. Chiefs in week 5. Vikings last week. Big drop weight by Justin Jefferson. You had Pittsburgh. They covered. They won easily. It's getting tough out. If you're still alive, who are you going with in week number 12? 5 weeks, 4 weeks left, depending on your type of contest.
All right. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think the Vikings find a way to win. Dalvin Cook eats against this Panthers defense. Slim pickings out there. Give me the Vikings.
Yeah. Oh, Vikings. I am on a clear regression path this season, missing on two of the 11 so far, but if I'm alive in a survivor pool, I think with the way this week sets up, it's a good week for some risk. So if you're ever, usually you probably go through a whole season or two even without using the Giants, but Ryan Finley's just been so bad in every moment I've seen him on the field so far. So you never know, it could change. He's a year better, but nothing in that game against Washington showed us any different. So I'll take the Giants this week. A little risky, and see if I can get an edge on some people. All right, let's make this a tradition for Thanksgiving. We're going to have a little snake draft to wrap up the pod of our favorite Thanksgiving sides. Stuck, you're up 32-26 in our six-pack contest. So you, sir, have the first pick. What is the top side on Thanksgiving?
I'm all about casseroles on Thanksgiving. I just want, like, the big tinfoil, and then just it looks like slop, but it tastes so good. So I'm starting with green bean casserole. I think I only have it on Thanksgiving. I love it. I will put it on with everything. Green bean casserole.
You? Wow. I mean, you're coming out of, like, first you go with gangrene and you go with the green bean casserole. I'm really happy that you chose that, because I was hoping to get stuffing with the first pick.
Damn
so
it.
Yeah, I gotta go stuff. I'm going the chalk here. My grandma, RIP. But she used to make the homemade stuffing with she would spend like a much longer time than you would ever imagine, like chopping up bread into like little pieces. And so I love the homemade, I love the stuffing. So going stuffing with my first pick.
Yeah, it's stuffing. It's like kind of like coleslaw. There can be good stuffing. There could be bad stuffing. And when it's good, it's really good. And it's one of those things you usually only have on Thanksgiving. So that's a good pick. My second pick, I'll go with another casserole. Like, I just want a big plate with either like a duck leg or a turkey leg, and then the casseroles around it, mashed potatoes and mac and cheese. But I'm not choosing them, because I have mashed potatoes and mac and cheese all year. But broccoli casserole. My wife and her family make this awesome broccoli casserole. So that's where I'm going second.
Ooh, I think I got to go mashed and gravy here then. I mean, I don't get to have it that much. It's one of my favorite things. And just something about it with the turkey, mashed and gravy. Pick number two.
All right, my final pick. Well, I had written down here those two casseroles and then stuffing. So I'm going to go with – this is just the personal one that my wife makes. It's these roasted Brussels sprouts with, like, some pancetta, goat cheese, and it's just bomb. And I love Brussels sprouts. They get a bad rep. So I'm gonna pump them up here and give them some pub. So I'm going roasted Brussels sprouts. Get a little greens in there.
I love Brussels sprouts too. I actually have Brussels sprouts quite often. So I'm right with you there. For my third pick, I'm going to choose something that is going to probably come out of left field, but it's something that you really don't have other than Thanksgiving a lot. And it's cranberry sauce, man. Like, I love cranberry sauce, but like, who has cranberry sauce? Like, just lying around in the house. And then who's going to think about it? No one. But on Thanksgiving, it's there. It goes with almost everything. So going cranberry sauce. Get a little chilled action for my final pick of our Thanksgiving sides. All right, so that was a jam-packed episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Know we went long, tried to make sure we hit on all the three games, since there's really nothing else to do, especially in these COVID times. Hopefully everyone's safe out there. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. You can follow Stucky and all of his picks in the Action Network app at Stucky2. You can also find him on Twitter at Stucky2 as well. Be on the lookout for all of his content coming out this week. And same goes for me. I'm at Chris Raybon on both the app and Twitter. Best of wishes and safety. And have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Good luck this weekend. And let's get this show.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We're finished talking.